This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, I'll say we picked a good time to start our movie review that we're going to do today at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to it. We review The Natural. But first things first, we have to unpack what we saw last night. That was rough. Nuggets are done. How done, though? Is everyone on the chopping block for the Denver Nuggets going forward? We'll get into it. Also, we know who the Avalanche are going to be playing now, and that's the Minnesota Wild. How do we feel about that? Whole show starts now. Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. They power my backyard. They are taking care of that little mosquito problem and also the rodent problem. Boy, this was upsetting. I got to tell you, Nuggets lose last night. 110 to 98. 110 to 98. You have another announcement before the game that another key player is going to be out for Minnesota. Ayo Dosunmu was out. He was probably one of their better players in this playoff run, especially when Anthony Edwards goes down. So he's out. Kyle Anderson missed the game. You're already without Anthony Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo. So I'm thinking, yeah, we should be able to win this game. I felt that way before. This is as bad as it could have gone for the Denver Nuggets. And we're going to unpack that game a little bit more. HVAC guy texting in, I only listen to one sports ball show. I'm guessing that's this show. But I feel like this should be a day of mourning on your behalf. Yeah, it sure feels like it, because it's not just a playoff loss for the Nuggets. It's a loss that signals, at least to me, a significant change is coming. I do feel like, now, again, we're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff today, about these contracts and everything. So when I say things like everybody should be on the chopping block, save for Nikola Jokic, yes, let's make that very clear. You do not move on from Joker. That man is there. Should be there probably until he decides to call it quits. In fact, he said as much yesterday. He was asked about signing his max contract extension this offseason, and twice he responded with, I want to be a Nugget for life. So that one you can put to bed. The man doesn't want to go anywhere. He's not championship chasing. He wants to be a Denver Nugget. Everybody else, you should at least be having these conversations about. Everybody. That's David Adelman. That's Cameron Johnson. Jamal Murray. Christian Brown. Again, one of those, you can talk about it, but what are you going to do? Tim Hardaway Jr. will be a free agent. Do you bring him back? Bruce Brown. There are a lot of... Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is definitely in this conversation, and that pains me to say it. But it's not him, the player. It's his injuries at this point. If you can't count on him to give you a majority of the season and or the playoffs, then he's just a good player that his body is betraying him at this point. So yes, everybody is on the chopping block except for Joker. And I don't like to do that with first year head coaches. David Adelman is certainly not Nathaniel Hackett, who was a first-year coach and was fired before he could finish his first year. Adelman I won't describe him as a good coach. I don't necessarily think he's a terrible coach. I mean, you have to be really bad as a coach for me to obviously go, all right, he's not a good coach. But you also have to be pretty decent for me to look at you and say, yeah, that guy's a difference maker. And you know me, I've complained about Chris Finch, the head coach of the Timberwolves. He annoys me. Would I have him as the head coach of the Denver Nuggets tomorrow? Yes. Yes, I would. They embodied who he was, who he is, Chris Finch. They play. The things he complains about are the things that his team talks about. And the things that he says are a point of emphasis, they put it out there. They play a suffocating style of defense because he hammers it home. I don't know what his I'd be curious to talk to a Minnesota insider. What is coaching is really like, you know, throughout the week during practices, and does when he holds guys accountable, how accountable are we talking? Like, if you're not going to do these things, you will find some bench. That's what's going to happen. Eastside Chris, Adelman needs to go on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Adelman needs to go. The players made the choice to hire him. Get Kerr. Players will have to be accountable. Nice thing Christian got his extension because no other team would want him after watching this series. Yeah, I got a lot to say about Christian Brown. Big Hub, I would say I feel bad for the Nuggets, but I can't because the Hawks just showed the worst display of basketball in history. Yeah, that was a rough go, Big Hub. The game on right before the Nuggets. Whew! I guess you could be there. That was a rough game. What was the final score in that? 140-89. The Knicks beat the Hawks 140-89. So you had that game happening, and that was embarrassing for the Hawks and for Hawks fans. Yeah, I've got a lot of emotions on this one. I'm mixed. Big Hub said he was there. Okay. Oh, that's a tough one. Sorry, man. Did you leave early? Because I would have.
I think the Hawks left early.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Christian Brown. He signs the contract extension in the offseason. You've now got him locked up all the way through 2030, the 2030-31 season. Next year, the contract extension kicks in, and he will be due. He'll be his salary will be $21.5 million, then $23.2 million, then $25 million, then $26.7 million, and then $28 million. Nobody is taking a straight-up trade and bringing him in with that kind of money based on what we saw. The guy's confidence, and I don't know if it's the injury that he sustained because he doesn't really have a history of injury, so you know it's new to him. But, I mean, he had a key turnover late in the game with like 4 minutes left. It's tied. The Nuggets have a chance to go up, and he turns it over. His thing, when you look at some of the others around this on this team, they all kind of have a thing. Christian Brown's was his transition game and finishing at the rim. That was, for the most part, gone from this series. And a good, you know, a decent size of the season, portion of the season. There was a moment where Christian Brown gets the ball in the paint. Rudy Gobert is looking at Joker, not even seeing what Christian Brown's doing. Brown doesn't even think about shooting it. He doesn't even think about the rim. He dribbles into the paint. He's somewhat open and then scurries away only to turn around and pass it right back to Joker. His confidence is shot. I mean, you're paying. This is a 23 million dollar guy starting next year. He gave you 28 minutes last night. He had 3 points. He was 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. And it was just bad. His plus minus, he was minus 9. So yes, Christian Brown, that contract in retrospect is looking like a major problem, and that the Nuggets made the wrong choice and didn't sign Peyton Watson or CB or over CB. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that, I knew they were going to screw that up. I did say when this happened, you sure hope it doesn't turn out to be another Michael Porter Jr. contract. Now, Porter was making a lot more, but he also had a thing and never lost it. He was always a shooter. Even with a bum shoulder in the playoffs last year, he found his way to still somewhat impact the game. Even when, if you want to give, you know, your biggest criticism of MPJ, he was still not a terrible player. I think it's kind of fair to say Christian Brown, for the most part of this playoff series, was, you might not want to say terrible, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And now you can't move that contract. Like, yes, his name should be, when you're sitting down today, tomorrow, whenever, and talking about what the future looks like around this team, you have to bring up Christian Brown, and you have to make some calls. But no one's going to take that. So you're stuck with Christian Brown. Are you stuck with Jamal Murray? That is a hot button for a lot, because there's a lot of people that love Jamal. There are a lot of people that are done with the Jamal thing. And then there's people probably kind of like me in the middle. I just know how good he can be. But the problem with Jamal is the guy, if you get a good defensive player that can guard him, he is, look at him. He's the hardest working point guard in the NBA. I don't know if that's a compliment. I don't know if it is. Because by the time he crosses over to half court, he is moving around with or without the ball, trying to get open. That two-man game is exhausting. It's not as simple as just set screen, pick and roll. No, it's a lot of dribble handoffs. It's a lot of Jamal action through running around to get open. And then when he has the ball, he's going off of screens a lot. He, by the time he actually goes up and shoots it, in some games, if you have a stifling defender, which the Timberwolves have a few of those guys, like Jaden McDaniels, who backed all of it up, by the time he goes to shoot it, he's exhausted. So at this stage in his career, sometimes I wonder if maybe he'd be better at two, and you bring in a point guard. Maybe not a real legitimate scoring point guard, like you could have like a Conley type of guy. But there's a difference. If you watch, you know, if you watch Anthony Edwards, and again, shooting guard, but can play the point. In the NBA, there's so many players now. Point guards, it's just a position. So many of these guys can handle the point. But just watch like an Anthony Edwards and how, if he has a guy just smothering him, he can pass the ball off, get the ball back, not use his dribble yet, and really make that first initial move to blow by a defender. Jamal is finesse. He's quick, but he doesn't really have that first step, that power to just get by really good defenders. Now, Eastside Chris Jamal can go also faith saying, "My heart was mourning for you, Brady, as I watched the game last night. I had a feeling late in the first. I tweeted it out and I said, I do not like the feel of this game. I just had the feeling that we were watching the end. Joker had a few moments." And let me say this. Joker, again, he had 28 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. Good numbers, right? He wasn't necessarily good in this series. Over the span of the series, he was the reason they were... I mean, Spencer Jones obviously had the third quarter chaos in Game 5. But he was their consistent scorer. He's to the point, as we said earlier, if he struggles, he's still going to get you a triple-double. He's still going to score in the mid to high 20s, if not into the 30s. But it's not enough. The points can be, you know, all those stats can be empty sometimes. How did you get those points? How, you know, did you get, okay, quick. He got two quick shots off in the first quarter against Rudy, and he had 4 points right off the bat, and you're thinking, okay, Joker takeover game here we go. And then he was passive the rest of the way, and then he goes on another stretch. They were kind of, you know, we give Murray crap for this a lot, the Murray flurry. Joker had a lot of those last night, where it wasn't like a consistent, I'm either going to score on you because I'm taking my guy one-on-one, or you've started doubling me, and now I'm starting to pass. It wasn't a consistent attack by Joker really throughout any of these playoffs. Now, that being said, he had a bad playoff run, and he was still scoring in the high 20s. Jamal Murray had 12 points last night. Four of those being free throws. He was off. He was 4 of 17. He was 0 for 2 from the three-point line. He was turning it over. He didn't have any turnovers, huh? I thought he had at least two. But according to the box score, he didn't. Maybe it felt like he had turnovers. There were bad passes that led to a turnover. I don't know. It wasn't a good game. It wasn't a good game by him. The turnovers really weren't even that bad. Joker had four. I think he had three of those in the first. He had 13 turnovers. Minnesota did everything they said they were going to do. They weren't going to turn it over 25 times. They're going to clean it up. They did. They're not going to be afraid, even if they have guys that are down. Their young guys are going to step up. They did. Terrence Shannon Jr. Terrence Shannon Jr. dunked it. Blew by Tim Hardaway. Blew by everybody. Joker could do nothing but stand and watch. Because he's just not a great defender. And Terrence Shannon Jr. just elevates and dunks it. Smitty texting, and Jamal is going into his 10th season, and his fanboys are still talking about his potential. Not exactly a ringing endorsement for a max contract player. No, it's not. I was disappointed in this entire playoff run, for the most part. But especially last night. That kind of performance in a winner-go-home game, when they are down so many guys, I get it. You were down Aaron Gordon and Peyton Watson. That does not equate what Minnesota lost. That does not equal what Minnesota lost. And you're going to come out like that? Yeah, that kind of performance should lead us to having bigger conversations. I still think this was he was an all-star. He had an all-star year. He's a good player. But if you don't have other players on this roster that are also good, they're not just sporadic, like Spencer Jones, not a good player yet. Sporadic, he can be good in moments. There are a lot of players in the league that are good in moments, that have these games at home where they just go off. To be a good player in the NBA, your average has got to be up. You know, you can't be a guy that's averaging 8 points a game and has one out of every seven games. Whoa, there's a 20-pointer. That's not a good player. And the Nuggets right now have a bunch of those guys that could be good one night. You forget about them 3 nights later. That's Cameron Johnson, who had a really good performance last night. I will say that. But that's Cameron Johnson. That's Spencer Jones. That's Christian Brown. That's Tim Hardaway Jr. That's Bruce Brown. Go look at Minnesota. Julius Randle, good player. Jaden McDaniels, good player. 32 points last night. Rudy Gobert, again, what he does defensively, good player. Mike Conley, he's kind of one of those at this stage in his career. Some nights you're going to have some good moments, some nights you're not. Naz Reid, good player. Anthony Edwards, I'm just going through the roster. Anthony Edwards, superstar player. Dante DiVincenzo, good player. The Nuggets don't have anybody that's a consistently good player outside of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, kind of. Jamal, he made an all-star this year. But there's a difference between being a regular season all-star and a playoff superstar. Murray used to get mad when people would call it the playoff Murray. He didn't like that. Because there was a time when he was average in the regular season and he was really good in the playoffs. We saw the reverse of that this year. So I do think there should be a discussion on everyone. And I'm going to go through the contracts coming up. Big Hub says, are you liking these fights? What, like the T-Wolves-Nuggets fights? Yeah, I thought Joker, it looked like he pushed Clark to the ground and I thought he was going to get ejected. When we went back and looked at the play, Joker just kind of pushed him. And Clark grabs Joker's jersey and pulls him down to the ground with him. So it appeared as though he was knocking him down. And so at first I was like, oh boy, Joker's losing it. It's only the third period. Here we go. He's going to get ejected. But it was the right call. You know, you had the double foul there. And then Naz Reid pushed Joker in the back. And that's a tech. It's also upsetting. Naz Reid pushes Joker in the back and the entire group of Timberwolves on the floor surrounded him. Where were the rest of the Nuggets? I mean, Aaron Gordon would roll with him, but he was in street clothes on the bench. Where is everybody? I mean, it just, I don't like to be the guy, oh, they're ready to go to Cabo on three. There are teams that do that. We've heard it before. We literally heard it before. But it didn't look like everyone was really interested in playing another game in Denver this weekend. It didn't look like it. So what's the biggest issue going forward for the Nuggets? It's not David Adelman. He's an issue. It's roster. Somehow, they've got, and maybe they can work out something where they move enough pieces and they can bring Peyton Watson in. But you need more players that are consistently good players. Minnesota, like I said, I just went down the list, man. I didn't even bring up the guy that got in the trade, Ayo Dosunmu. He was the best player in the playoffs. So they have five or six guys that I can classify as good players on any given night. The Nuggets have two of those. Which means you're not, and well, maybe Peyton Watson is, oh, Gordon, but when he's healthy. So, you know, when healthy, they have three of those and maybe Peyton Watson. We need to see more, I think. I still think we need to see more. So this is, when you lose in six to a team you were picked to beat, but also to a team that lost their superstar, lost their really good role player, lost their best reserve in one game, and several other guys, then this isn't going to work. You cannot run it back. I'm telling you right now, if Denver runs this back next year, with no Peyton Watson especially, they will go to the playoffs and they will lose again. They will lose in the first round. So you have to make a fix here. And I don't know that David Adelman is the guy for the job. He's a rookie coach, and that's what I tried to remember. But now that the series is done, I didn't like some of his responses about the competitive thing. Some of it I was okay with. I kind of liked seeing some fire. I think I was desperate just to see some fire from him. But now that as it's all kind of settled down now, it was somewhat petty that that's what he chose to focus on. Yeah, we know you're missing shots. And he says offense doesn't matter. Then why are you making shots? Is it because you're allowing Tim Hardaway Jr. to shoot every time he gets the ball and you just give him the green light? Or are you calling timeout and talking to him and saying, hey man, let us get into our action first. We can get a better shot. You don't need to dribble down when you're waiting for three other guys to cross over half court. You don't need to dribble down and just fire up a shot. You don't need to shoot it when you're contested. Let's keep passing it around and work for a better shot. He plays like he's scared he's never going to get the ball again. So he shoots it. Smitty texting in on the First Advantage text line. Murray wasn't even a starter on the Canadian Olympic team 2 years ago. What does Team Canada know about Jamal Murray and his game that his fanboys can't see? Well, I mean, he was having a rough, it was pretty rough there. I mean, he came off the injury. I didn't think he should have played in the Olympics, honestly, against Canada. Or it wasn't the injury, it was just the long season. Aaron Gordon hasn't been healthy in over a year and a half. He's 31 and his best and healthiest years are behind him. Yeah, probably. That one sucks. That pains me to say. But the loyalty thing is fun and neat. But we're trying to win championships here, and it seems like that window, more so than the last 5 years, that window has really, not all the way closed because Joker's still there, but has really gotten closer to officially being closed, more so than I could have said the last 5 years. Michael, when we come back, I've got a lot of clips that I want to hear from former Nugget Boogie Cousins, kind of sticking up for Joker, because there's a national rhetoric now, all attack, and the blame is going on Joker. It's fascinating. The national rhetoric now is, hey, is Joker as good as we thought he was? I think he is. Just don't think this team is. It's the whole show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans. This is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
We could all use a lift up. City of Greeley lift up program. Your budget might need a boost right now. The lift up program is here to help, but don't wait. The application deadline is coming up fast. May 31st. It's May Day, Michael. One of my favorite days of the year. May Day. May 31st, though, the deadline is. The process is simple. Visit greeleyco.gov/liftup, and qualifying residents could receive up to $100 through the low-income food and tax rebate, plus a $150 credit on your water utility bill. Real relief for groceries and monthly expenses right when you need it most. Go to greeleyco.gov/liftup. Michael, I could use a lift up here. Big Hubba asking about the fights. They hate each other. Do I like it? No. Because it's not hockey. They don't get to sit down for 2 minutes. If they get into a serious fight, they get kicked out of the game. I like the heat of it. Yeah. I like a little pushing and shoving. I like a little sports hate. I never thought I'd be tired of a sports hate rivalry, but I'm tired of seeing the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of what this team... I'm just tired of where this team has gone since they won a championship in 2023. Yes, Michael.
I bet you'd be less tired of them if the Nuggets would beat them in the playoffs. Or at least play well against them.
You still get sick of them. I mean, they beat them. They beat them in four or five a few years ago before they won the title. It's just a common opponent, man. We've seen that team a lot. And they've got Denver's number. You know, I thought Jaden McDaniels coming out after game two and calling out Denver specifically by name, you know, the bad defenders, I thought that was a crazy move to do that early in the series when the series was still tied 1-1. But he backed it up. His guys were out last night. Not only did he play amazing defense, but he scored 32 points and had 10 rebounds. That's why I always say, like, beautiful part about the NBA playoffs is heroes are born in these playoffs. And that's one of them right there that we're talking about a hell of a lot more today, Jaden McDaniels, outside of Minnesota, than we were before this playoff series started. Texter says, Brady, we know what Joker said, that he wants to be here. I wouldn't be shocked if he joins Doncic. Joker's just not that kind of guy, man. He said it. He just said it. Last night he was asked. Like, your contract extension is coming up. Are you going to be signing it? I want to be a Nugget for life. And he said it twice. Here's Joker, though, obviously sticking up for his head coach, David Adelman. Here's what Joker had to say about, you know, where the blame should be put or where it shouldn't be.
Heard that he will be criticized?
No, it was nothing. It's not his fault that we couldn't rebound. It's not his fault that we couldn't catch the ball very well. So there is nothing to blame to David Adelman.
Admirable. Admirable, for sure. For Joker to say that, and I wouldn't have loved it if he said something like, yeah, you know, we didn't feel like we had the best game plans going forward. That's not Joker's style. He's not going to throw a coach under the bus. I think he's kind of a purist when it comes to that in the basketball sense of, you know, you don't throw your coach under the bus. Jamal Murray. A somber Jamal Murray, Michael, was talking about what went wrong in this series. Here's Jamal.
For you, was it about shot making or not being able to get the looks that you wanted throughout the course of this series?
This is on me. I mean, I think I've made, and you guys have seen me made enough shots where I get into my spots and just unable to convert. So that's the frustrating part. You know, they're playing good defense. You know, all these guys are playing physical, trying to chase me around. And, you know, when I get the looks that I need, you know, they don't go down. So that's the frustrating part, just not showing up when my team needed me most tonight. And I feel like if I played a little better, you know, we would have had that game. So it's just frustrating on my part, you know. I'll take accountability for it. It's a rough night, and they, you know, they move on. So,
how do you kind of view this season in the bigger picture, and as it relates to, you know, the future?
Well, we just had so many injuries, man. It was, I mean, even up until this point, you know, just guys coming in and just filling in and being professionals, and you know, the ups and downs of the season. I feel like we just really weathered those storms really well during the season, and everybody had a part in that. So it took a lot of effort for the group to get here, and now we're unable to get past this round. So it's tough. You know, the way to put it, it's tough.
I just don't know. Like Jamal, when like Jamal Murray hit a shot, you know, like against the Lakers. How is he capable of so many of these amazing shots and so many of these amazing clutch plays, and then you still see so many games like that? I would say that in his career we've seen more good than bad from Jamal, but that's not what you want from your big money guys and your star players, is to say, I think we've seen more good than bad. It's an obvious way more good than bad is what you want. Like what you see with Joker, where you're almost surprised if he has a bad game. But nationally, it's Joker's fault. Nationally, that's what we're hearing today. He's not as good as we thought he was. So Boogie Cousins, who was his teammate a few years back, played for the Kings for a while, he was kind of going to bat for Nikola Jokic. Here's Boogie.
When it comes to the Nuggets and Jokic, I could never, you know, sit up here and say I feel like he's overrated or anything like that.
I don't even like it being written up there.
I know, yeah, I just like
it. That's what I just said.
That's silly.
It wasn't about you saying it.
You know,
it was,
Jokic is Jokic.
We're not saying it.
He earned the right to, you know, for his name to be mentioned amongst the greats. You know, when it comes to being a top five big man or whatever, I think that's a totally different conversation. I'm sure everybody has their arguments. And, you know, to each his own. But I also feel like it's... A lot of things have changed within the Denver Nuggets organization as far as, you know, even down to the how they hold the guys accountable. I had the luxury of being there when the Mike Malone was there, when they won a title with a Mike Malone. I wasn't a part of the title team, but under that standard, it was just a whole different, you know, accountability when it came to the guys on the floor. It was a different urgency with the guys on the floor. I don't quite see that, you know, in the past years and And as of this year, I don't see the same urgency
on the
floor.
I feel like it's the leadership.
It's the leadership has changed. A lot has changed within, you know, the group. You know, it's different pieces amongst the core group now. So I'm at the point where I feel like it's still time for Jokic to maximize these years in his career. So but it's also time for an update.
Yeah.
It's time to update the system. You know what I mean? It's time to figure out the right pieces going around this guy. Because obviously he still has a window of time to win more championships.
I mean, he said it, you know, he was there under Michael Malone, but he even said the last couple of seasons. So let's not do the whole thing of, well, Malone wouldn't have let this happen. Malone was I think it was time. I don't think his messaging was working anymore. Do I like his style more than what I've seen from Adelman so far? Yeah, I loved Michael Malone. But I think There's a limit of time with these coaches and these teams, and it just seemed like it was time. But Boogie's talking about the leadership, and he's not seeing. Well, here's what we can only see. Even Boogie Cousins, who was a former player, we can only see what David Adelman shows us. We can only see him on the floor, calling timeouts, yelling at players, barking out orders. We can only see what he shows us in the media. In the press conferences. That's a big thing. That's a big part of it. Because these guys see that stuff too. And if it's rubbing us the wrong way with how he responded to a certain reporter or how he handled a certain criticism, and we didn't like the way he responded, well, maybe that's how he handles the practices and that's how he handles issues within the roster. I didn't like, you know, I think unlike Malone, he waits too long to call a timeout when things are getting out of control. He called a timeout, and Malone, I saw this too, especially the last few years. You call a timeout, and then nothing changes. You know, you call a timeout, you're still not playing defense. You're still losing guys. And that's, you know, I always get, timeouts drive me insane, unless you're good at them. A good coach knows when to call a timeout and what to get from that timeout. And I don't see anything change when they call a timeout. I see more of the same. But Boogie saying it, sticking up for Joker. This is a non-Joker discussion. Barstool, NBA Central, they're all asking the question, what does this do to Joker's legacy? I talked about this on Wednesday. It does nothing to his legacy. Now, this is alarming. Dan Hyatt does an amazing job getting Nugget stats and NBA stats. The 100th playoff game for the Nuggets with Joker and Murray. They are 53-47. They've gone to the playoffs 8 straight years. They won 10 of their 17 total series. This was only the second. This was only the second first round loss. But he writes, Denver in 22-23 title run, they went 16-4. Denver in the 3 playoffs since 16-16. So they've been a very average contender, if you want to call it that. 44 minutes after the hour, I want to shout out to Big City Roadhouse. We did stop by there yesterday. Michael got to try some of the pizza. I got myself a breakfast burrito. Brian did the pasta dish that they have. All of it looked amazing, but I love my breakfast burrito, man.
Yeah, the large breakfast burrito.
Huge, huge.
It's like 3 times the size of the breakfast burritos I usually get.
Oh, yeah.
And luxurious, might I say.
Packs a punch. Put a little green chili on that bad boy. Bacon in there. Mmm. That was a good time.
Yeah, but nothing compared to my pizza.
Well, I've had the pizza before.
Which I have leftovers in the refrigerator, and I'm super excited.
Well, I'm excited. You're excited.
They're tavern-style pizza. It's like a flatter crust, yeah. Not like huge amounts of bread. But I have to say, it's very easy to like burn that and make it too crunchy. It was perfect.
It was pretty good.
It's the perfect amount of crunch that you want.
You are a review expert. You're going to need to bring that expertise when we review the movie The Natural.
Oh, I'm still going to be reviewing the pizza.
We're bringing the dude down the hall, Dustin Urbis, and I think we're bringing Mike Danson with himself in as well to review this movie. And it's very simple, Hooligans. Start it, bench it, or cut it. That's the rules. If you start it, that means it's one of your top sports movies of all time, and you can watch it anytime. If you bench it, it means, yeah, pretty good. I can live with it, live without it. If you cut it, it ain't good. I'm not watching that again. So start it, bench it, or cut it. The Natural. I want to hear from you. 46 minutes after the hour. Not you, Michael. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. We know who the Avalanche are going to face in round 2. They're not going to let us down, Mike, right? The Avs should just be fine. The Wild, that's a good team. You don't want to take them lightly, but there's a part of me that's pretty excited. We're not going to have to see the Stars, as the Stars tend to eliminate the Avalanche from the playoffs.
Yeah, but don't worry. The Avs are going to win this one. I think they're going to win in 7, as I predicted earlier.
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
My picks are on Thursday, but I didn't have a chance to pick them on Thursday.
You don't get picks. I've already told you this. You don't get picks. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break here. I'm going to wrap up hour number 1. We got top stories of the day, Big 12 news, also more on the Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Wild. We got Minnesota on the brain. They're in my head now, Mike.
And you hate them.
They're in my head. And we review The Natural with Robert Redford. with the fellas coming up at 1. It's part of our summer feature of fun and madness. We'll be right back.
Four Saturdays, 4 code words, 1 big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I've got to do this real quick. I got a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse. Going to give that away right now, Michael.
Get the pizza.
Get whatever you want. Just get whatever you want. They have a full menu of wonderful items, but I'm going to give that away right now. Michael, what caller number are we doing? Michael, what caller number?
Caller number 3.5.
Caller number 4. No. Caller number 10. Caller number 10, 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. Caller number 10, you're getting a Big City Roadhouse $25 gift certificate. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.